Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Phil Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Field, how you doing, man? Seems like every time John Dorsey makes a deal, it's kind of out of left field. There's been a lot of trade rumors, but we hadn't heard anything about Carlos Hyde being traded, and there you go. What do you think?
So I'm not sure if you guys are people that have bucket lists in your life, and I don't, but I'm thinking about making one. And on my bucket list is going to include the opportunity to play Monopoly with John Dorsey. That dude has not met a trade he would not consider. And I don't mean that. I don't say that as a slight. I say that as, like, it's awesome, right?
Love it.
Has become far trade happier over the past few years, and it's because of people like John Dorsey, like Howie Roseman of the Eagles, like Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio of the Patriots, and like Les Snead and Sean McVay of the Rams, that are willing to spice things up a little bit. So we can get into the ripple effects and all that in just a second, but I did want to start by saying, like, I love this stuff. As a fan of the game, I think it's
Agreed.
Fun.
Agreed. I totally agree.
So you think this just came out of left field? Like, where do you think this came from? Did Jacksonville call? Were the Browns shopping him? Like, is this because of Nick Chubb? Like, we're just trying to figure out, like, how did this even come about?
I got to figure that the Jaguars were the team that initiated the call. And here's the reason why I don't know that. I'm just trying to apply what I would call common logic here is this Leonard Fournette timeline, guys, has changed week by week, right? This is like when you're building a house and they'll tell you it's going to be done in 6 months. And then, 6 months in, they're like, oh, yeah, give us 3 more months. And 3 months later, they're like, give us 2 more months, whatever it is. I don't know if the Jaguars have been caught off guard by how long it's taken Leonard Fournette to get healthy, but when they first lost him in week one, my feeling was like, yeah, maybe back in a couple of weeks at most, right? I mean, it's Leonard Fournette. The dude is the size of a linebacker. And maybe I do this wrongly, but I associate that with he should bounce back quickly. He should be the kind of guy that overcomes this in relatively short order. But anyway, it's no mystery that the Browns have had some confusion. Maybe confusion isn't the right word, but they have had some use in the backfield that people have had their ears perked up by, right? I mean, Nick Chubb runs great in the one game against in Oakland, and he's run effectively even on those non-50-plus yard touchdown runs. By the way, he was a good player when he came out too, right? Like, everybody knew who Nick Chubb was back in April. So I think the Jaguars probably said, listen, it's no mystery. Cleveland wants to see Nick Chubb at some point. And if you look at the way that Carlos's contract is constructed, he is essentially on a one-year deal that a team has to decide upon. So it's not like Jacksonville is making some sort of long-term commitment when they already have Leonard Fournette. And if you look at their cap situation for next year, the Jaguars have a ton of money on the books. But this gives them an ideal fill-in situation because you look at the running backs that are getting workouts right now on the free agent list, and none of them come close to Carlos Hyde.
We're talking with Field Yates of ESPN about the Carlos Hyde trade. Field, is there any chance, when you look at this deal, like you talked about the usage and we've all been scratching our head. I've been screaming and yelling about getting Nick Chubb more carries and even Duke Johnson because my guess is, and I'd love to know your answer to this too, I don't think we're going to see, like, I don't think every one of Carlos Hyde's carries are going to Chubb. I think some of them will go to Duke Johnson. So I'd love your take on that. But also, is it possible this is the front office saying to the coaching staff, hey, we need to get these guys more carries, so now we're going to force you to do it.
Yeah, I don't – so the latter part, I'm not trying to be the guy that sort of just – I'm not trying to be lame and like, play like, I don't really know. But the reality is I don't know on the latter part, like whether this was a heavy-handed situation from the front office or not. But what I will say is this, is that – Duke Johnson is sort of being overlooked in the immediate aftermath, and you guys know that a lot of my work at ESPN during the season is fantasy-driven, and everybody's, blowing me up right now, like, do I need to add Nick Chubb right now and make him my starting running back right away? And the answer might be pretty soon, but I think we saw a little bit of Duke Johnson, the sort of proverbial squeaky wheel gets the grease last week, right? And I know that sometimes small sample sizes can be goofy and can lead us down paths that I don't necessarily view as totally accurate. But when Duke Johnson gets a chance to play, he's good, right? Like, he's not, like, sometimes good. He's not, like, kind of – like, he's good. That's part of the reason why the Browns signed him to a three-year extension this offseason. I think that Duke, between the obvious passing game involvement and, heck, with all the wide receiver injuries, they may not have a choice but to throw him a bunch, throw it to him a bunch against the Buccaneers. But Duke can also run the football. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Nick Chubb is the obvious workhorse back. But that Duke Johnson's role, I don't want to say explodes, but it has to grow over these next couple of weeks and down the stretch.
I don't know why Duke doesn't get more carries. Like, I think people just...
I will now, I think.
Sure, yes, well, hopefully. But, said, I mean, yeah. I feel like people just look at him as, like, this, like, novelty or something. Like, he's not... He's the all-time leading rusher at the U. Like, the guy's a really good running back, too. I don't know. I feel like they've underutilized him his entire career here.
Well, I think, Dustin, probably because guys get labeled early on as something, and then it just we just latch onto it. Because if you had not made that note about the all-time leading rusher at Miami, like, I was so ready to pounce on that. I mean, Frank Gore, Clinton Portis, I mean, just amongst, like, notable, just, like, right off the top of your head, Edgerrin James. There are so many good running backs. I'm totally shortchanging Miami here, but there are so many good running backs.
Willis McGahee.
Yeah, Willis McGahee, to go on and on. And Duke had more rushing yards than all of them. I think probably there are times in the NFL where teams get a little bit latched onto guys who are less than 6 feet tall and less than 210 pounds as change of pace players, and that's all they are, right? Because there aren't that many guys that are like Jamaal Charles, who incidentally, who knows what his future is in Jacksonville now that Carlos Hyde has been traded. But when he was running crazy well, he was kind of an anomaly in terms of his usage at his size and his overall stature, but I'd love to see Duke get more and more work, and I think there are a lot of people, and again, not to make everything simply about fantasy football, that invested in Duke and said, hey, the good news about him is that you know the floor is high. This guy is going to get touches. It hasn't been the case yet. I think there's a chance that changes as soon as this Sunday. I would hope this Sunday.
Agreed. I got him in two of my three leagues. I just went to pick him up during the last break in my third league that I'm in here with Dustin. Just grabbed him. No, Duke Johnson.
Oh,
somebody just grabbed him before I had a chance to do
I'm starting him as my flex this week, by the way, Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
I am, yeah.
We're playing each other this week.
Oh God. I can only imagine what the stakes are. There's got to be something good
First place on the line.
Tell them what our bet was, because Dave Richard missed.
The bet is whoever loses, the winner picks the lineup for the loser next week. Sets the lineup.
Oh, wow. So, do either one of you have players on the bench that just belong in no lineups whatsoever, but you're hanging on to them because it's, like, sentimental value or something? Like, there are people who are, like, you know, like, rostering players that are on that are free agents because, like, I love that guy 3 years ago when he was awesome. I hope both of you can avoid that. But
it's a 10-team league, so in this case, there's not. But now I have T.J. Yeldon on that team, so I'm going to have to cut him because he becomes pretty
T.J.
useless.
Yeldon.
Yeah, exactly.
I might give it 1 week, though, because the interesting part about like Carlos Hyde is like I was just adjusting my rankings for week 7 in our system on ESPN.com, and I was like, wait, how do I rank Carlos Hyde for this week? Like, he's not going to practice with Jacksonville before their game on Sunday against a good front seven in Houston. Like, do we even know if he knows the play, if he has any idea what the playbook is? Like, by Sunday, there's a chance that, like, the extent of his knowledge of the playbook is, like, run left or run right, you know? Like, and that's not a swipe at Carlos. It's just by the time he gets on a plane, takes a physical, like, maybe for one more week, you got to hang tight with T.J. Yeldon because I imagine he'll still be busy.
Just tell me, inside zone, outside zone.
And I love that Fantasy Football Now show. It's a great show, Fantasy Football Now.
We have a lot of fun on Sunday mornings. And, you know, this is like, I know that our producer just sent us a note and like 20 minutes before the trade went down, and we had a whole outline lined up, and then he sent us another note and said, guys, we're going to have to switch some things up for Sunday morning because this Carlos Hyde thing just throws a little bit of a wrench in our plans. But it's a great story. And I tweeted this a little while ago, and I found it amazing, guys, and it's not necessarily specific to this Hyde trade, but 10 months on the job. John Dorsey was hired on December 7th, so 10 months and 12 days. He's traded 10 players from the roster. Now, Carlos Hyde is the only one who wasn't a holdover, his only player that he has acquired and then traded, but he's traded 10 players away. He's traded for Jarvis Landry. He's traded for Tyrod Taylor, amongst other guys. I don't know this for a fact. I know it's been speculated upon. I know that Tyrod kind of alluded to it himself, but you got to wonder in the next 11 days what kind of market there will be for Tyrod Taylor. Imperfect start to the season for Cleveland, but you guys watch football on Sunday, and you know it is ugly out there at times at quarterback.
No doubt, and I think they could trade Tyrod Taylor Field. I also think the Browns could make a trade for a wide receiver. You talked about, you know, and we've talked about it also, Duke Johnson being used a little bit as a wide receiver. You know, that's not going to happen now that you've traded Carlos Hyde. The Browns are as thin as it gets at wide receiver. Three of their five wide receivers were either on the practice squad 2 weeks ago or Breshad Perriman, who was signed off the street, the former Raven. And the only one of the other two guys that was here is Antonio Callaway, who's struggling. Landry's the only sure thing. Do you think it's possible the Browns could get involved in an Amari Cooper trade or maybe even a wide receiver we're not thinking of?
I was just going to say, like, you nailed the one player that I just can't wait to see what happens with over the next 11 days. And I'm not reporting anything here, not necessarily from a position of knowledge, but obviously Jay Glazer reports that the Raiders are shopping Amari Cooper, at least, you know, investigating it. You can take it to the bank. And amongst the teams that would make sense for Amari Cooper from a need standpoint, the Cleveland Browns make a ton of sense. But then beyond that is when you're acquiring Amari Cooper, the 2018 part is easy, right? Like, he's paying, I think he's making like $1.3 million. So you're paying the prorated version of that, so $700 or so K for the rest of the year. But his number skyrockets to $13 million next season, and it's guaranteed if he's on the roster on the first day of the 2019 league year. So you got to make a decision about if you're acquiring Amari Cooper, do you view him as a player that is worth that kind of money next year? Not that the Browns have any issue with cap space, but it's an intriguing player to monitor over the next 11 days because there aren't a lot of teams, if you go around the NFL, that are just you know, chock full of great wide receiver depth. Like the Broncos, if they had lost last night and they came about as far from a loss as you possibly could, maybe you say to yourself, all right, they would be 2-5. Demaryius Thomas, in the final year of his deal, would it make sense to give Cortland Sutton some more run and try to trade Demaryius Thomas? But there aren't a bunch of names that fit that bill. And obviously with the Broncos winning last night, their mindset probably shifts. So I'm keeping a close eye on the few teams that actually have some wide receiver depth over the next 11 days.
What do you make of this game on Sunday with Tampa Bay, with the Browns?
Say, I think that last I saw, at least as of this morning, our research had the over-under at 50. Like, did I misread something? Like, was that the first half over-under? Like, how are we over-under here, guys? There's so many, like, so many wrinkles here. Or pound the over, I should say. There are so many wrinkles in this game that intrigue me. But let's just focus on the Browns for a second. Is I think there is, I don't want to say gut check, because, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, if you you win this game, it guarantees you nothing. You lose this game, it doesn't mean that you've been eliminated from the playoffs or something. But last Sunday was the first time that we've seen the Browns lay an egg this year. And and even look close to the team that they were last year. So whether they win on Sunday or not, you know, one thing you could hang your hat on, and maybe people are sick of moral victories or silver linings, like through the first 5 weeks, they competed hard as heck, and they played tight football. So Sunday is a game that even though they're playing in Tampa Bay, like I look at it and I say to myself, like, yeah, the Browns could or maybe even should win this game. A bounce back effort from last Sunday. Like I kind of want to see what I'm not sure what the right word is, whether it's fortitude, what the mindset, what the resolve is of this team. But I think we might learn something about the Browns on Sunday in Tampa Bay with all the injuries that the Bucs have on defense. I wouldn't be surprised if Baker Mayfield has his best day as a pro.
I feel like and Hugh Jackson talked about this earlier, not about him getting fired, but I feel like this is the last stand for Hugh Jackson because if they lose, you never know. The NFL's really unpredictable, right? And how the hell did the Dolphins beat the Bears and Jacksonville get smoked by Dallas? But if they lose to Tampa with Kansas City and Pittsburgh on the road the next 2 weeks, things could snowball bad in a hurry, and that's it for Hugh Jackson. Like, if they're 2-6-1, Hugh Jackson's not going to survive the season, I think. So I think this game, I think he's got to have it. What do you think?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Atlanta's on the back end of that Pittsburgh-Kansas City stretch. And
that's
Atlanta
right.
is, listen, record-wise, they're struggled, but we all know Atlanta's got legit talent, just they're all hurt.
Yes.
But my point is this, to your point, you know, I'd say it's just like, you know, I think it seems to me like the Haslams and John Dorsey have, like, they have reasonable expectations. But winning games that you can slash should win is important for Hugh Jackson. I don't know whether the idea of, like, replacing Hugh at some point, I mean, I know it's been discussed ad nauseum. I don't know if it's something externally. I don't know if it's been something discussed internally. But we saw last night, I mean, Mike McCoy becomes the first coordinator change, or second coordinator change, I believe, of this regular season. So, right. Obviously, Mark Duffner being promoted to the Bucks defensive coordinator, the other one so far. But, you know, at this point of the season, we've gotten past the, hey, it's the early portion of the season. It could be an outlier. We'll find out who we are, what we are in a handful of weeks. And we've entered the phase where it's like, if the results aren't there, people are going to clamor for change externally, and it might, you know, it might permeate internally. And I think it's an interesting storyline. Like, I don't love speculating on coach security, because a lot of things can change, and ultimately the Browns are in a much better spot right now than they were 12 months ago. But I don't think it's wrong to say that this is a really critical stretch coming up for Hugh and really the entire coaching staff.
Field, thanks so much for joining us on short notice. We appreciate it as always. Thanks, man.
All right, guys, enjoy the weekend.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.